Welcome to Reinventions in Between, your go-to podcast for real stories of reinvention that happen between life stages, career changes, and living abroad. I'm Sara Coggiola, life coach, intercultural trainer, and reinventions facilitator, helping people on their quest to what's next. I have reinvented myself a few times, and in the past 16 years, I have collected fascinating stories of change. In each episode, my guests will talk about why and how they took the leap and seized the opportunity to change their life. Let's begin.
At some point, there is an element of risk. At some point, you need to decide. So there is an element where you sort of say, okay, that's it. And for me, that happened when I was 50. So I quit my pharmacy job, went to the Chamber of Commerce, registered my business. I mean, I was very scared. I was really frightened. But at the same time, extremely excited and believing that this is really my vocation.
Welcome everyone. Today I'm sitting with Rawia. Tell me the story behind your name.
So the name is Arabic, Rawia, and it means literally a female storyteller. And it was chosen by my dad, who was Lebanese. And I remember when I was a child, actually, I didn't like the name because everyone struggled to pronounce it, especially when I came to live in Europe. You know, they struggled to pronounce the name. But more and more as I got older, especially when I started working as a coach and counselor and blogging and writing, it really felt like it was a great fit. And I love the name and I embrace it fully.
That's a lovely story. Thank you for sharing with us. Rawia is a multilingual, multicultural transactional analysis counselor and NLP coach. She's sitting in The Hague, the Netherlands. I'm sitting in Melbourne, Australia. And we were put together from a very good friend, Ute. So Rawia offers individual consultation online and in person. And she works on issues relating to big life transitions, anxiety and overwhelm, communication and self-confidence. But there's something specific that you wrote as well, and I think it's very important, and I don't want to miss that. Being female and mixed race, she understands and provides support on issues relating to discrimination, identity, and belonging. Yeah. That's very nice. I suppose you become an advocate for these for a specific reason.
Yeah. Well, you know, my own personal journey, it always impacts really what you end up doing in life. So as I shared with you earlier, you know, I'm from a mixed heritage. My father's Lebanese, my mother's Ghanaian. And I was born in Ghana, but ended up, you know, moving from a very young age, from about the age of 4 or 5 to Lebanon. And my parents were divorced when I was very young. So when I went to Lebanon, my mother wasn't with me. So there was just me, you know, with my paternal grandmother who was raising me there. So I didn't fit in the setup. There was this black girl with afro hair and everybody around me, even my family, looked different. And in the 60s, there weren't many people who looked like me in Lebanon. So I stood out. You know, people always asked, who are you? You can't be, this is not your sister, this is not your mother, you know, that sort of denial of your existence, so to speak. So I always wondered, why am I black? And my family around me is a different color, you know? Why are people treating me differently because of the fact that I'm black? Of course, as a child, you don't understand the concept of discrimination or racism. You just think you're not good enough. Something's wrong with you. That's how you explain it, that something is wrong with you. Yeah. And you carry a lot of emotions, and it affected my self-esteem, my self-confidence. But I was always curious. I was curious about people's behavior. I was curious why my sister is confident and I'm not confident. Mm-hmm. What are the things that impact how we are? You know, I remember being curious and always wanting to read to satisfy my curiosity. So that element started very early for me, you know, being curious and seeking answers through books, through reading articles, that sort of thing, you know. So maybe the seed to become a counselor was there without me even, you know, being aware of it. So that aspect of, and that experience makes me really compassionate, and I have a lot of empathy to people who have experienced discrimination. You know, not only through race, but our sexuality, our religion, our identity, our gender. I mean, there are so many, you know, discriminating experiences that people have been through. You know, being female can also, you know, subject us to discrimination. So I'm very aware of that. I understand it. I have empathy, compassion, and I'm really support diversity, equity, and inclusion. I really believe we need to be more inclusive. We need to open our mind, you know, embrace everyone, you know, no matter how different they are, and try to understand others rather than, because they're different, reject them.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. I love what you just said, and I find it so beautiful the way that we can incorporate our beliefs and our values. And we were talking before starting the interview on how we bring our personal experiences and our beliefs into our profession. And how have you incorporated these in the work you do now?
So, you know, these experiences, interestingly, I ended up working with clients who have gone through similar experiences. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, every experience is unique. So the fact that somebody had something similar doesn't mean that it's identical to my experience. But it makes you understand, relate, it resonates, you know, both ways, to the client and to me. So a lot of the issues when they come to me and they talk about mixed heritage, for example, I already have an understanding what it's like to be of mixed heritage, of wanting to fit in here and fitting here, and you don't fit in here and you don't fit in there. Mm-hmm. So that dilemma already is something that I understand from my own experience. Plus, everything that I've studied offers you concepts, models, tools to really unravel the experience, heal from painful, traumatic, you know, experiences as well. And that together enriches my work with clients.
That's great.
Yeah, so, you know, and having moved as well, you know, like you, Sarah, having a life, international life, living in different countries, trying to adapt to a new culture, a new language, a new way of life, carving yourself really, you know, becoming a parent somewhere where you're not close to your family. You know, I never imagined I would become a parent and not have the support of a family somewhere on my own, you know. All those experiences add and enrich your work, your profession. It all comes together.
That's absolutely true. And I wanted to add a thing that you made me reflect that through this work that I do and with the stories that I love to tell through the podcast project, I've noticed that there are many patterns that come when people reinvent themselves. And I try to highlight those patterns and try to analyze and discuss with people reason why those patterns are coming. And one that really struck my attention, really struck me, was how many people reinvent to a different profession through therapy or a healing process that they needed for themselves.
Yeah.
And how important it is that we are seeking those repair system in a way, I can describe them. And then we are so drawn to those values that it becomes a profession for ourselves to be able to help others, because we can't contain just for ourselves. We need to put all that we learn, both from personal and professional journey, in service of others. So I suppose this is the case for you as well.
Yeah. Well, what I, what I've discovered in therapy, having my own therapy, because like I said, when you study to become a counselor, you also undergo therapy, you know, to make sure that you work through your own issues in order not to contaminate your work with your clients. So when I went through therapy, it really gives you self-awareness, you know, around yourself. You get to know yourself in a way that you've never known yourself before. Mm-hmm. See, when we're born as children, we are spontaneous, natural, creative fun. Yeah. And then life happens and you adapt to the demands of parents, to the demands of the world around you. And that changes you and takes a little bit away that spontaneity and that natural child that is in you. So anyway, we become slightly different to our natural selves, you know, and depending on people's environments and how healthy or unhealthy that environment is, the adaptation can be more extreme or less extreme. Yeah. So when you reach a point where maybe certain issues are overwhelming and you do seek therapy, it helps you reconnect with that natural, spontaneous child that you were, you know? And that's why you discover things about yourself that you didn't know before. And it opens up channels that were blocked before. Mm. So it's not surprising that you end up maybe doing something different or maybe doing the same thing, but with the more vigor, enthusiasm, confidence, creativity. Yeah, so there is a change. Something happens, you're transformed. And when you're transformed, it can transform your profession as well. So, you know, I've worked as a pharmacist for many years. It was satisfactory, but it was not really my passion. There was something mm-hmm. else obviously missing for me that I didn't know. Maybe I didn't dare embark on it because I didn't have the self-confidence, the self-esteem, that sort of belief in myself. And through therapy and discovering things about me, understanding the traumas, understanding my fears, my anxieties, embracing those fears because you realize they serve the purpose for me. So rather than block them, mm-hmm. actually embrace them and use them to my advantage. Understanding aspects neuroscientifically of how my brain works, you know, and how I can use it to my advantage instead of fight with it also helps to carve really what you want to do.
I'm very happy you are mentioning these and explaining like it can really become a tool and a resource. We spoke about that before on how myself, I had prejudice when I was much younger and much naive about how I could seek for support, this type of support, and I couldn't access it just for my bare ignorance and mm-hmm. and how I'm completely the opposite now. And I would recommend everyone when there's an issue, just find the right therapy, the right support to have a better outcome.
Yeah, culture impacts this a lot because I know as a child, I mean, time, of course, changed. But as a child in the 60s in Lebanon, there wasn't like psychology and psychological issues were not looked at in the way we're looking at them today. People talked in hushed tones about someone struggling. Mm-hmm. You would never be open about emotional struggles. They didn't see a profession as a psychologist as a respectable profession. So, of course, we always struggled from, you know, way back emotionally.
Of course, mentally. Everyone struggled.
But the world was not open to us going and asking for help in the way it is now. So now, yes, when somebody's struggling, there's so much out there available, resources, courses, you know, webinars, personal work you do with somebody one-to-one. So much out there available to support you, you know, to change, to develop, to resolve issues that you're facing. And it's okay to talk about it. We are more and more removing the stigma associated with mental health. And that's, for me, something I'm really passionate about. I share a lot of stories about my life, try to show that there's nothing embarrassing, nothing shameful about having struggles, and that things can change. We're not stuck. There are ways to change and feel better and happier and more fulfilled in our life.
That's absolutely true. What you say about the culture bias, it's the same that happened in Italy. I can, from my country of origin. And the same applies prejudice on how most of the people think about reinventing or changing career in Italy as well, for example, and especially women. When people hear that a woman wants to change or quit a safe, employed job, everyone says, are you feeling good? Are you crazy? Are you throwing away something safe to do something that you don't know would be the outcome? Yeah. So also part of this project, the podcast, is also to encourage and actually to say the opposite. If we are more aligned to what we discover later in life, just go for it, because it has a more than one meaning. And I hope the people who listen to the podcast understand that and can really be encouraging, discovering, or at least embarking in discovery journey.
Sometimes we hold on to a profession that we're doing because we feel, oh, we've invested so much time, so much effort, invested money. You can't just shut it down, leave it, move from it. So we're like stubbornly holding on to something that we know actually doesn't fulfill us anymore, and there is something else. And that was something also in my case. You know, I studied, my parents invested so much money in my education. You know, how can I just leave it? I need to, you know, stay with it. And as I moved from country to country and realized how difficult it is to really stay in that profession, I started thinking that maybe there are other things I can do. You know, becoming a parent and doing volunteering work made me realize that there are other things I enjoy. I have a creative aspect to me that I didn't realize I had, you know? So it makes you explore like, well, pharmacy satisfies one thing. I'm using one, you know, a set of skills, but there are other skills that I can use. And when you change profession, you do take something from whatever you've done before. So for example, pharmacy has analytical skills involved, you know, to be a scientist, there are analytical skills. Now I am a transactional analysis coach. There is also analytical skills involved in that profession. So I do transfer something from my previous profession into my new profession. It involves talking to patients, listening to their issues and what they need, and then supporting them with finding solutions. The same with my work now. I really need to listen, you know, engage with my clients and understand what's going on for them. And my personal journey of experiencing trauma, it makes you very observant, because when you've experienced trauma, you're very observant. You're looking for signs in your environment to protect yourself. So you're very vigilant. And that power of observation is very helpful also in my work with clients. So yeah, it's important to be flexible, to be adaptable, and to be open to the notion that we can do lots more than we think we can.
Oh, definitely. Thank you so much. Great tips you gave me already without me asking you. Yes, I was going to ask you, how was the switch basically from pharmacist to therapist?
And
you mentioned already part of the journey. I can see how you have a completely different drive now. Well, I didn't meet you before, so I don't know how you were as a pharmacist, but I can certainly say in this current profession, you are drawn to those values that you just mentioned with also your advocacy work. Everything resonates to what you're doing now. So I would say that definitely people who are in doubt of changing, if they find themselves not resonating anymore with their employer or the type of job they are doing, just seek for a quiet place with themselves and reflect on what is important for them. And especially nowadays, especially women, I want to encourage you to give yourself permission to find the time and the space to listen to yourself and what is important.
I think it's good to explore really those ideas that are coming to you. Perhaps talk to people who are doing the profession you're considering to do and get some insights from their experience, and to try. I mean, just try. What's the worst thing that can happen?
Yes.
You know, we're always so afraid to try something and fail at it and make mistakes. And we think it's the end of the world if we fail. But there's so much learning in doing things and failing. You know, we learn so much more from what we don't do well than from the things that we do well. So just try, you know.
Which is a very difficult process to accept from mistakes, but actually is the only way to learn if something is worth it, try, or understand if it's the right path for ourselves as well. And then we were saying before that for some people, change happens unexpectedly. For some, it's gradual and it might require a lot of time, not just maybe 1 year, but maybe more than 5. But you don't realize that. And it makes all sense looking backward and you understand that was the path I was put on for a reason. And there's nothing woo-woo. It's really...
I think the seed to change can happen suddenly. Mm. Like you experience something and suddenly this idea about change comes into your mind. But to actualize the change takes time and it's a process. So I would say perhaps the idea of me, you know, changing from becoming a pharmacist to something else might have happened overnight, you know, me struggling emotionally with my own depression, seeking support and something there happening in my soul and mind overnight, you know, wow, this is so profound. But the journey from that moment to becoming what I'm doing now, of course, took years.
Of course.
And it was gradual, you know, the training, the studies, also financially to go through from some, like, you know, pharmacy, it's a profession I can do. I can just find a job, earn a salary to become coaching counselor. I'm still not known, nothing. Takes time to be able to be to establish yourself and make a living from it.
That's a important thing that you mentioned. Can you maybe explain a little bit more this step that is not easy for many? They don't dare to quit their safe job and to embark in something new, and financially or being independent is of course an issue. And I don't want to sell these reinvention like an easy thing to do. Of course,
no, of course,
times and patience, and sometimes we retrain and upskill is involved. But what would be, you said you were a problem.
So when I arrived to the Netherlands, already that idea of me changing, you know, wanting to do something else was there. So I just embarked on training and studying, but I still looked for work as a pharmacist because that's something I knew I could do. It's easy to get a job in something you already know, have qualifications to back it up, etc. So I found part-time work as a pharmacist while I was, you know, doing my NLP training and then later my transactional analysis training. So that gave me that balance. You know, I was working, earning as a pharmacist while studying. And also at the time, my ex was working for Shell, and they had an organization that supported spouses to develop themselves, find work. So through that organization, I got funded for my training. So my training was paid for through that foundation that supports spouses, which of course is helpful. Not everybody has that sort of access.
Yeah, that's a good resource, of course.
Yeah. So I made the most of that support and studied. And then at some point, I decided to make the switch. Again, I was still with my partner who had a good job that, you know, brought in money. So I could go through that adjustment period. Of course, not everybody can do this. So I would advise that at least stay first in a job that you know, that brings you, you know, some income while you transitioning into something else.
Perfect advice. So you can also have the opportunity to experiment, to try out if it's something viable, and also understand. Many people, they start as a passion or they start a side hustle and then they struggle. But in reality, it's the time where they have to scale up and find more support or maybe a fund or a grant, and they just can go up in a way that they couldn't think of.
At some point, there is an element of risk. At some point, you need to decide.
Yes.
You know, that do I want this or I don't, you know. So there is an element where you sort of say, okay, that's it. And for me, that happened when I was 50. I turned 50 and I thought, that's it. If I don't do this now, it's never going to happen. It was a scary moment and an exciting moment at the same time. So I quit my pharmacy job and I went up
Congratulations. You did a great job.
Went to the, you know, Chamber of Commerce, registered my business. You know, I mean, I was very scared. I was really frightened, but at the same time, extremely excited and believing that this is really my vocation, you know.
I feel goosebumps. I can really feel how it was such a strong emotion. Well, on these last sentence, I want to ask you, and thank you so much for your time and everything that you share with us. It will resonate with so many people, I'm sure. One final question, and it's a light one. Do you remember the movie Sliding Doors?
Yes, I do. I loved it. It's the movie where if you chose this path, this is how your life is. And if you chose this path, that's how your life is. Very interesting, actually. And there was an NLP background to it. And I think, what's his name? He was a big NLP motivational speaker. What's his name again? His name doesn't come to me. Featured in the movie. The name doesn't come to me, but he featured in the movie because it was about exploring different perspectives in our life and how certain decisions and beliefs take us one way, because, you know, your thinking, your belief and your feeling impacts your behaviors and your actions. So how one path can take you one way and another path takes you another way, you know?
Exactly. And so what's your thought about your own experience through the lens of the sliding door?
I see that I've experienced the two paths. You know, I've experienced one path and then somehow connected to the other.
And you have really, the opportunity.
You know, we often think that goals are linear. You know, like getting to a goal is a straight line, but actually it's not a straight line. You know, zigzag, and sometimes you're blocked and then you see an opening. So it's really more a winding road to get to where you get, and everything you come across, whether it's frustrating, challenging, an obstacle you overcome, you learn something towards where you're destined to be and become. So yeah, I see it as a learning journey. We're still on the journey.
We were saying before, and you become the person you were meant to be.
Yes.
And
for some, it's a short time. For some, it's a long time. But hey, it's a really fun, exciting journey in the meantime, you know?
Absolutely. I keep thinking, if I never moved, if I never left Italy, where would I be and what would I be doing? And yeah, of course, for me, I needed those years of experience abroad. It became my most valuable asset in my profession as a life coach for people abroad or people in global mobility, because I've been through those issues and then I learned the skills. Yeah. So I retrained at the age of 40 and I was similar to you. I was in a very creative moment. So I was pregnant, expecting my second child. And I retrained in that moment as a life coach. And then I took an intercultural training course. And then the idea of the podcast came during the pandemic.
Yes,
so the last 5 years for me were just this big growth and turning 50 next year.
And so these podcasts and talking to different people and their journey and their insights, it's so enriching. I mean, you are learning something yourself from what you do. And at the same time, you're sharing it with the wider audience.
Absolutely.
So it's really wonderful. I think it's
for me,
it's
there's no biggest gift of receiving all your stories. And I'm absolutely on purpose in delivering to everyone who wants to listen. And I'm sure it will arrive to everyone in different ways where it has to arrive. And so I'm really grateful for this journey that I embark on. With a lot of low self-esteem because I was not doing public speaking. I never worked in a radio. I learned everything from scratch on how to do podcasting. I do the best I can, but it's really the passion of this project. Rawia, thank you so much for your time. And
thank you. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed talking to you, Sarah.
I'm glad.
Great to know you. I hope one day we meet in person.
Of course. I already asked a room and Ute for my daughter if she decides to go to university.
Okay, fantastic.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, for sure. One day coming to Europe and would love to meet you all. Thank you for today.
And thank you very much.
Everyone who is listening, you will find all the information about where to find Rawia in the show notes. I forgot to ask. Well, maybe a blog post about the name of your business, Recipes for Change.
There is a blog post on my website, actually, perfect, about how I arrived at that name.
Perfect. So everyone, head to the website and read about the story and send us comments. Let us know what you like about this episode and get in touch. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for listening. Now, I want to hear from you. What's your number one takeaway from my conversation with my guest? We would love to hear your comments. You'll find all the links in the show notes. If you're curious about reinvention, go download my free guide, Your First Steps. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you'll never miss the opportunity to spark curiosity and get inspired on how you can navigate change in your own life.